This is the August 19 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and Merrill Crowley of AgTraderTalk.com out of Watseka, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that at WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. Merrill Crowley, I suspect that you have been paying close attention, I think, to this week's Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. What did you find of most interest so far?
Well, one of the problems is we're not finding a lot. Now, here in the last few days, we saw Indiana doing pretty good on the corn, Illinois doing very well on the corn. I think Iowa was a little surprised, but you got to be somewhat cautious with Iowa and the states out west because the route doesn't go up through those areas very much. They did go through South Dakota. Minnesota, the numbers we're seeing out of that today as we go through the day, they were really good on the corn, but the beans weren't quite so hot. The beans are something that maybe could see maybe a yield decrease. As you know, we got two more weeks of weather, and if we can get the rains over the weekend, then I think we got a bean crop and maybe higher than 50 bushel like we had from the USDA. The corn crop looks to be getting bigger. Some of the numbers that are coming out early from the Farm Service Agency for reported yields are showing acres are showing that maybe corn and soybean acres might be a little bit bigger than what we've been talking about.
Was this the reason that the market dropped today, or was there a different reason behind today's drop in the soybeans, meaning that the soybeans and the weather look like they might be better by the end of August?
Well, that's one of the reasons. I think you got some other reasons out there that they looked at the minutes from the Fed yesterday. Later in the day, there's more talk of tapering. I think that has the market nervous. We saw a lot of risk off in several markets today. The dollar was quite a bit higher. And the other thing that, I don't think anybody's really quite settled yet on what COVID's going to produce.
I've got some questions about the formations that are taking place in the marketplace as it relates to the technicals. I keep redrawing my pennant. It keeps getting a little bigger than it was before. Where does this pennant go at this point in the corn market?
Yeah, that's a great observation. But looking at the big picture, if you just look at the sideways movement, we've been sideways since April. If you take the corn, we've been within the May's trade range, the high and the low, and in the beans, the June high and low, but we're virtually sideways. And we've formed a pennant. You can draw all kinds of lines on there if you want. Now, if you want to draw an uptrend line and kind of do the pennant on the beans, we broke below that. So it's a little concerning. Hopefully it's a false breakout for the bulls. We can turn this thing right around and go back up. So the key is this bean psychological level of $13 even. More importantly, 1310 is kind of an area. We've been sideways with the sell-off in through here. Technically, it's getting a little bit oversold. If we have another day or down, two down, funds typically sell three-day increments. But fundamentally, I wouldn't be surprised China steps up the buying on this lower move.
So it's been an interesting summer because all summer long you think, well, we've got a pretty good crop. You hear about some problems in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, made up primarily by what's been happening in a large part of Iowa, Illinois, certainly Indiana and Ohio. Base building still have a really high price for a crop, and I suppose it feels every week like we might want to drop out and head down going into the harvest season. Not quite been able to pull that off yet. What's your assessment?
Well, I think everything you said there, Todd, is very true. We wonder why we are quite as high as we are, but there's still talk of world demand, world things. You know, as we look, the wheat crop was bad in a lot of places. We see the corn crop being short in South America. Argentina's shipping their extra corn to Brazil, a lot of things like that. We're seeing basis levels tremendously high. Last week we had nearby shipment corn at Cargill at Linden $1.40 over the September. I mean, $1.40 over now, and we've got a crop that looks like this. Sort of crazy out there, especially when we're talking about we were going to decrease ethanol usage, and they're still producing ethanol. I think that we have seen we've had really, really good early buying from the Chinese, but we haven't seen anything in the corn market for a long time. And I think that that's it. We're seeing small chunks being nipped off on the bean market daily, but no big sales in what they're looking for. And I think Kurt really hit on it here on the last bit, was saying, when we see a little drip down maybe below $13, will we see China come in and book a few more beans like that they would need to a degree? You know, they were feeding a lot of wheat and a lot of different things that way instead of meal, this might change some of that. We're seeing China very much control how they're doing, you know, their speculation and what's going on a lot of areas that way. But a lot of pessimism right now, I think, that knocked the market came out of number one, COVID, number one, Afghanistan, two, Afghanistan, three, the feds, four, the dollar, and what we're talking about, and just plain the funds were getting tired. They hadn't sold, and today they were pretty good sellers. They were liquidating some of their positions. But I think that we might, like Kurt says, at these lower levels, see some cash business start to take place by some of the countries that need to lock some stuff in.
So that's all about the demand structure in that case.
Yeah, a lot of psychological, and Wayne hit on Afghanistan. I mean, in the public's eye, you know, wow, we got a problem in here. And people are tired of this politics. Right away, I made the decision, I'm going to stand by it, but it's not my fault. Well, that's great. You can't point the finger. You got to come up with some solutions right away. How am I going to fix this? How am I going to help those people stranded in there? And we've not heard that yet. Part of it's the media, his news people. They need to turn this thing around. Those aircraft carriers going in there to take people out, they need to take the Green Beret and the SEALs in there and show them getting off, going in there, and people coming on and getting out of there. And we're, and by gosh, if you're going to harm an American citizen, you're going to see a cruise missile or Apache helicopter come to the rescue there and take some charge. That would give the world and the U.S. people more confidence. But Chinese media worked on this and said, hey, Taiwan, watch out. America's for America, and you better start shaking because we're coming after you. And that didn't really hit the headlines, but there's some concern that maybe, you know, it's PR stuff, that there could be some issues there. But once again, if they put out negative news, the next day they turn back to be buyers.
So policy issues always have inference within the marketplace, as Kurt made note of, and those references to all sorts of things that are happening around the world and where commodities might move or might not move to simply are back to demand. And again, the demand structure, we're going into the end of the marketing year, just a few days away now. Are we going to make demand under USDA's current WASD figures for ethanol and feed and all sorts of things? And how does it play into next year?
Time. They're going to sit back and they're going to wait and see where this price does go. There's China has just purchased net about 100 million bushels of beans. I shouldn't say just China, because Unknown was in there as well. And then a little bit of Mexico purchase of beans today. But you're talking in 11 days in a row, about 100 million bushels of beans were bought. That's a pretty good purchase right before fall. However, from what I understand, China is short bought. And they're just trying to cover their needs for a little bit longer to see how things turn out in the U.S. for the yields. So I think they've got themselves enough crop right now that they can see harvest through and pick their point better when to buy. They also will get a chance to see how it starts out and if they get rains in South America. Everybody's dry right now. The other thing is the corn demand is probably there. We aren't going to see much from the Ukraine. That'll probably run out anywhere from October to November. They think that the South American crop, corn, will run out in probably November, because they need to keep quite a bit themselves. So we're going to need time if we're going to see the demand. And just because we had ProFarmer out there and we had the bushels lowered by the USDA for the August, we need a little more feet on the ground taking a look at it. And we need to get these machines running to see exactly what size our crop is. Until that time, with all the confusion, I think the funds are going to decide to liquidate.
This crop, despite the lower USDA number for yield on corn at 174.6, still a record-sized corn crop. For many years, we've asked ourselves, where does the industry put it? They seem to always find a place for it. We don't see that many grain bales in recent years. I'm wondering what this means for basis, in particular in Indiana, Ohio, the eastern part of Illinois, where there's an awfully good crop, and if there's something that producers should consider for all the corn that they will have to put in a grain elevator.
Well, I think that as we look at the prices, we look at the bushels out there, there's no reason not to take your extra bushels that you don't have room for and be making a few sales here. You know, look at product cost, your acre income. And it's tremendous this year if you got the kind of yields that ProFarmer's telling us, that all of our farmers been telling us. Now, the one thing I did learn from ProFarmer's thing is we're seeing a lot of slightly lower bean pod counts in a lot of areas. As we drive by, as I drove over here today, I saw one field starting to turn yellow, beans, and everybody's told me the top leaves didn't have blooms. Even if we do get this rain, they might not add those. And I think that's one thing. Don't count on quite the bean yield we were looking for 2 weeks ago. We're going to see some rain out west over the next few days, or we're supposed to. That's going to add some bushels out there. Their beans are far enough behind. They were later planted, and they're smaller, and I think that they are going to add a few bushels there. But all in all, I think what we're saying is, don't be silly. Some of these prices haven't been too bad to price a little more. Another thing that's really crazy out there right now, Todd, is ocean freight. It has jumped. I mean, there's, people are going to be paying so much more a ton for everything. And that's going to be one of the things that hurts and what they're looking at. And the other thing is our container market right now. China shut down another one of their ports or their big container loading and unloading areas because of COVID by one or two people in the area that way. And that's stopping a lot of containers to move. Containers move a lot of stuff, grain, other products and like that. And they had way backups, like 10 or 15 days in one of the California ports, where it's generally 1 to 3 days backup out there. So we're seeing a lot of stuff backed up, and they're scared to go in to buy too much all at once with the freight rate the way it is and the unloading capacity.
When you look at last winter and where we are today, the strategy was to make some sales as we go higher here. Well, when the market's going higher, we had weather concerns. The producers said, well, if I get to be 50% sold, I could be 75-80% sold if I don't have a crop. Well, the exact opposite happened. They thought they were 50% sold. Now they're probably only 40% sold because of better yields and expectations of a lot more bushels to work with on corn. As Wayne said, the beans are still out to the jury here. So we're going to have to take advantage of some quick bids. As Wayne mentioned there, we've got some opportunities here. If you got something early to go and capture some higher prices here and try to get caught up on sales. When you do the math on it, don't get caught up on, I'm pretty well set, I don't need to sell anything because I got these extra bushels. You need to get those extra bushels sold or priced or protected because there is some risk to the downside later on this winter.
I read, I think, earlier this week, 256 ships worldwide are sitting at ports waiting to unload, just to add a little bit to what Wayne had said there. Chart-wise, I've been finding, and I think I mentioned this last time we were here, if you go to the cash charts, they'll a lot clearer than the futures are. However, they do match more with the May and July of next year's charts. The beans have dropped. They've got a couple of gaps in there. They've got a nice floor that we don't want to see them take out on the cash soybean market. The corn, on the other hand, is in a downward channel and hasn't fluctuated from that for quite some time. And that tells me, in general, that the cash market's not really being as supported as well, and that may explain to some degree why the futures are starting to finally follow.
Can we talk about charts and technicals just for a second, because oftentimes we do this on the radio, and I'm not sure that farmers who have access to these charts actually take a look at them or understand how they always are can use them and work with them. So the cash chart within, and I'll use bar chart because that's where I pick my charts up, and I think a lot of people actually do, are pretty easy to find. If you click on corn, any contract in the corn off bar chart, it'll show you all the contracts in corn. It's the first one, is the cash chart. And why do you like to use it?
Not necessarily do I just sit on those. You've got to watch all the charts. I mean, it just varies. Some years it's better off to watch your fall charts. Some years it's better to watch your cash. It's like if you're in a certain area, maybe you need to watch your basis closer, like if you're over in Iowa. And out here in the beginning of harvest, it's going to be a good idea to watch your basis closer than the futures, because I think they're going to perform more. I'm getting a little leery of the futures market as a real good guide to what's going on. And the only reason I've been keep mentioning these cash charts for corn and beans is they're very clean, very crisp, very easy to count a wave count to. And right now they look negative.
And you do see a downtrend channel in the cash side for corn and soybeans?
No, the corn is definitely a downside channel. The beans is more of an ABC formation. And there is a little doubt there, but I think we're getting ready to do the final wave lower on that. So corn has only retraced about, can't think of the number, 382%. And that's still a pretty positive number if it'll bounce off that. Beans have gone down to right at between 50 and 382%. And so want to see if they go on down to the 618. They tend to like 618 better, but we are showing very small declines for the general picture, which still gives you the bullish tint.
So, Kurt, you and I came up under Dan Zwicker. He taught both of us, I'm almost positive, that the charts will point you in the right direction, but don't give you the reasons why. However, what's your best learning advice for producers as it relates to charts?
Yeah, the technical side pretty well gives you the signal. It maybe reflects the news before we know it, so you kind of look for that for guidance. When we talk about a chart, basically we're looking at the high and the low for the day, from day to day. You can also have weekly charts, monthly charts, or if you really want to get excited, you can have some 5-minute charts. So you kind of look at that and you say, well, I should have sold up there and I should have bought down there. But the real purpose of a chart is you can draw a trend. If you connect the lows or connect the highs, whenever you break that, oftentimes that chart gives you an idea of where we might go for a while. Merrill, you hit a good point there. One famous trader who was real successful, his name was Fibonacci. And you look for some retracements. If you go up real high, you should pull back some. And there's 38, 50%, and 62% are the retracement things to look for. But as a producer, the main thing is look at the chart, draw some trend lines. Then as you get more comfortable with that, you can use those charts a little bit more advanced as you go. The commodity funds basically are highly technical. They're a little bit more moving average and so forth. So you throw a moving average in there, and when the green line crosses the red, you buy. When the red crosses the red, out of the way, you sell. Dan was real high on stochastics. So you got the chart there. You look at the stochastics, the momentum indicators. When the momentum indicators are at the top, even though the market's bullish, don't buy. And if the momentum indicators are down at the bottom, don't sell. So you use a combination of the charts and some of these technical indicators. Try to keep your head on straight, because this news is so herky-jerky, they're going to get you bullish at the top and bearish at the bottom.
Yeah, so the one thing to know about this is that because of the internet and the availability of bar chart and other places, you can find a pretty easy, simple way to look at charts. And oftentimes, if you just use YouTube or look up one of the guys here, you'll find charts from them that are available to you, so you can learn some of this. However, Wayne Nelson, you have, I was going to ask you about the fundamentals, but you have one other piece of advice with this.
Well, one of the major advisory firms today put out a recommendation to sell 10% more of his December corn or fall corn any of the cash market on the futures if we closed at a stop close only below 551, which of course we'd done. So there is one of the following he had down there, was watching, and that's the line. If he broke it, felt like that was the point. And if he breaks that, he feels it can drop another 20 cents. Also on the beans, when they closed, below 30, that was a very negative signal for today also. We're going to sort of watch some of that and see if it follows through. Some of the bull call spreads we had, we're going to take off the bottom side of it and let the top one go down a little more before we take it off.
And again, so some of these are self-fulfilling because so many of them, so many people actually use the charts that they will move with them. However, it does require that the fundamentals be in place at some point. And again, let's come back to the fundamentals of demand and supply for both corn and soybeans in September. USDA will update its figures. It will be the first time that it makes real counts in the field. What do you think they will find?
Corn and beans. Maybe wheat, if it's late. It's tough to say. I personally don't think we have our acres quite right. I think there needs to be more of an expansion on acres. Yield, that's a tough one. It's so variable. And what kind of bothers me the most is we had such a hard time last year with our derecho and the dryness in Iowa. And look how much more variable we are throughout the whole Corn Belt. And so how long is it going to take for the USDA to get a handle on what's actually out there? Last year, we didn't see yields really start to drop until November, and our final yield in January still wasn't low enough. They had to correct even later, and I believe that was May, sometime around May, either the March or... But anyway, it took them quite a while to get a handle on what size that crop was. So you kind of got to be patient. We have a pretty good size amount of demand in our tables and our supply demand tables. So you got to keep that in mind. So we do need to see this demand show up solidly. And if they are short bought, you should see China coming back in the market quickly with the corn. Again, who has anything to really be competitive with us? And wheat's been priced out of the market with the wheat rally. So, take your time, be patient. You can sell this stuff at something like $5.50 on corn board price. Last year at this time, we were around $3.60. Keep it in mind, you got some pretty good prices right now.
One of my old friends always said, there's lots of charts and sunken boats at the bottom of the ocean. He says you need to pay attention to what the big commercials are doing and what's going on. And I think that's the fundamental part that you talk to. And that's probably why I lean more towards a fundamental attitude towards looking at things, because my old friend was one of my big mentors in teaching me what to do. Dan was a good friend, but he wasn't quite as close as in mentoring me. So, but basically along the line, I think we need to see China show up for some more, or we've probably topped the market for the year. Now, I know that weather is a very big thing. And there's at least one or two very, very good weathermen out there now that are saying we could see this drought from the west moving east in this next year, and that we probably don't want to sell a lot of 22 crop yet. I'm holding back on selling 22. I know that a lot of guys have done that just because I'm talking to two or three weathermen that are figuring there could be some bad weather out there. But for this year, the crop's about made. I think that you sell another 10 or 20% before when this market's up around 550 or above on the corn. And if we can get above 1330 to 1360, you maybe put another 10% on.
Is that a trend of the trend is your friend kind of discussion you just gave me? And he, Paul Cooley, always said the psychology of the market is important as well.
Paul thought the psychology was worth more than a lot of things, and he very much kept his hand on the pulse of it. I think that it is, and right now we're sort of in a little bit negative attitude. I think the whole world situation, there's no good news out there now. Turn on the news, and it's all pretty sad right now. I listened on the way over, and a lot of things being talked about. Everybody's a little bit pessimistic. But I think more than anything, what I'm saying about this is I think Merrill just said it, a year ago, this was our prices. I can remember when we got back to where you could get $10 beans and people were thrilled and probably sold too many. I was one of them that thought $10 was going to be hard to get through. We're above 13 for cash beans now. How in the world should we not be able to make a profit there and make a good profit? Don't let it get away.
A lot of great old guys. Paul, Dan, Paul Bates. I mean, man, you've had a lot of good ones on the programs over the year. That's fabulous. But back to the crop report, I guess I'm a little bit more optimistic on them getting the numbers right for a change in through here. If you go back, the emphasis and the whole structure was to get checks out to you guys. Do you want an accurate report or a check in the mail or a check in your account? So you only got so many hours during the day. You got so much of the labor force. With the payments not going out like we've seen here in the past, I think they've got time to focus. COVID hopefully will stay under control and positive, so I'm confident here we'll hopefully see some more accurate numbers as we move forward here.
Let's wrap up now. We'll get a final word from each of you, and I think Kirk Kimmel will start with you from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois.
There's a lot of markets still in front of us in through here. I think the thing you need to do is have a plan. What happened with the politics here? They didn't have a plan. They did not have a plan B. A lot of services out there. It's just like a grain marketing program. If you don't have a plan B, it blows up on you.
Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana.
I think if you have some early harvest, you want to take advantage of these really strong, still out there basis levels available to you. I think that also along the way, you want to store some stuff for that weather rally coming next year. But I think all in all, you want to sell enough of this crop to make sure that you've got a real good income.
And Merrill Crowley of AgTraderTalk.com out of Watseka, Illinois.
Probably the best advice given here today is Kurt saying know your numbers and make sure you're set up with a plan with a backup. Personally, going into this, those that don't have on-farm storage probably should consider just pricing their corn, whether they do it now or across the scale, and then by using some of that storage money, which will pay for quite a bit of the call costs, and get yourself a call out in May or July.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to the whole of our program anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. Just a quick reminder of things that are upcoming. Farm Progress Show is at the end of the month, and the University of Illinois College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences will be on site, as usual, in Decatur. If you'd like to come and visit us, I'll be there all day long. Please do so. That's the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois, and that'll be the last part of August, the first couple of days of September. Thank you so much for joining us here on this August 19 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.